Good. Well, I think we're all here, so let's make a start. So first of all, good morning and welcome to the presentation of De La Rue's preliminary results for the year ended 31 March 2012. My name is Tim Cobbold, Chief Executive, and with me today is Colin Child, the Finance Director, and also present is Philip Rogerson. Philip is currently a non-executive director, but as I'm sure many of you know, he will assume the role as chairman upon the retirement of Nicholas Brookes at the AGM. Turning to the agenda for today, I'm going to take you through the headlines of the results that we announced this morning before handing over to Colin, who'll take you through the detail of the financial performance. I'll then return and give you an update on our markets, and I think more importantly, our performance in those markets, before providing a progress report on the improvement plan, which we announced a year ago. I'll then conclude with a statement on the outlook. So in my opinion, these are a very decent set of results that reflect very well on the fundamental strength of De La Rue, the quality of the people in the business, and the capability of both to improve. Group revenues grew by 14% to 528 million pounds, driven by a strong performance in currency, where our printed banknote volumes were up 8% from 5.9 billion notes to 6.4 billion notes. Our banknote paper production volumes rose by 11% from 9,900 tons to 11,000 tons. There was a good contribution from the cash processing part of the business following the restructuring in that part of the business over the last two to three years. And we also benefited from the first full year of production under the U.K. Passport Programme. Now, that growth in revenue fell through to the operating profit line, which was 56% higher at 63 million pounds. And that partly reflected the strong inherent operational gearing in the business, an improved mix in currency, and of course, the first wave of benefits under the improvement plan, which contributed 8 million pounds. And those positive factors were more than sufficient to offset some very strong cotton price headwinds, which cost 9 million pounds in the period. Now, one of the strengths of De La Rue is the conversion of its operating profits into operating cash, and at 78 million pounds, I think this year was no exception. So the good performance of the operating line, when combined with favorable movements on both the interest line and the tax line, contributed to a headline earnings per share growing by 81% to 0.435. On the back of this, the board has decided to recommend a full year dividend of 0.423, a final dividend of 0.282. Looking a little bit further ahead, the 12-month order book grew by 14% to 248 million pounds. With regard to the improvement plan, the group remains absolutely on track to deliver its targeted 2013-14 operating profit in excess of 100 million pounds. So that's the headlines. I'm now going to hand over to Colin, who will take you through some of the detail of the financial performance.
Thank you, Tim. Good morning. What we've tried to do on this slide is just drill down into the underlying numbers. So all of the numbers on this page are in respect of pre-exceptionals numbers. So obviously, revenue is before any of that, but I'll come back to revenue and operating profit in a moment on subsequent slides. But a couple of things to point out here. Clearly, interest charge a little bit lower than last year. That reflects just a strong cash flow, but also a slight reduction in the finance charge within the IAS 19 numbers. Taxation, 24.1% charge effective rate in the year. That's down from about 27% the year before. We've made some good progress on tax, and I'll come back to that in a moment when we look at the net debt situation in terms of the benefit we've had there in terms of some cash receipts. But in terms of looking forward to the new financial year, we expect the effective rate to be about 23.5% or so. So overall, significant improvement, pre-exceptionals on the profit after tax up  80-odd%. That manifests itself then into the headline earnings per share number. The percentage increase is a little bit different just because of the effect of minorities, but we think actually quite dramatic improvement in the year. Tim's mentioned that we've maintained the dividend level. Just to remind you, we have a dividend policy of about 1.75 times cover. So these numbers this year are pretty much covered. Last year, they were uncovered. But because of the confidence in the improvement plan, the strength of the balance sheet, the fact that we can invest in the business in terms of pursuing the improvement plan and the capital expenditure program, we're still able to maintain the dividend at that level. At the bottom of the slide there, you can see the print volumes. Now, you'll remember at the half year, we gave guidance that we expected printed notes to be about 6.5 billion. So we came in there or thereabouts at 6.4 billion. There's always a little bit of to-ing and fro-ing at the year end with notes that are being packed and shipped either side of the year end. So there or thereabouts on the printed notes. But you'll also remember that on paper volumes, we expected to produce about 12,000 tons of paper in the year, and we've come in at 11,000 tons. The reasons for that relate to three orders, two orders which comprise less than half of that 1,000 difference. Were not confirmed in the second half as expected, still remain unconfirmed, but we're still talking to the customers about them. So those clearly weren't made. We had another order which was for a little over half of that difference, which was confirmed in the period, but it was a bit later than we expected, and we simply didn't have enough time to make and ship the paper before the year end, but it has been shipped subsequent to the year end. So it's moved around a little bit, but notwithstanding that difference, we've still been able to deliver these numbers. I should also remind you, in respect of the 9,900 tons last year, that that includes 1,800 tons of paper shipped in the first quarter of that year to the customer that's currently suspended. So actually, if you allow for that and strip that 1,800 tons out, the increase isn't 11% on the underlying paper volumes. It's actually around 36%. So we've made some good progress in terms of selling paper to other customers, some of which we haven't supplied in a little while. So as I say, this slide's all pre-exceptionals. In respect of the exceptionals, we've charged just under £25 million in the year. Most of that, as you can see, relates to the improvement plan. And in the prelim, you'll have seen the split of that, but there was about £11 million in respect of people costs, just under £9 million on site and site exit costs, about £3 million on restructuring, and about £1 million on writing off some assets that won't be capable of being moved as the sites are relocated. We've also announced today that actually a year into the program, and with the benefit of a bit of knowledge and further discussions and negotiations with various parties, that we clearly, it now seems, underestimated the full cost of the improvement plan. So we haven't changed the plan. We're not doing any more, but we now realize that the cost is going to be higher than the original estimate that we gave this time last year of 25 million. And we expect to be spending up to, we're going to try and keep to the right side of that, i.e. below that number, but up to another £10 million over the next 2 years or so as we complete that plan. But to stress, we are not changing the plan. We've put at the bottom of the slide there the tax credit that we're getting on the exceptionals, quite different to the tax on the underlying profits on the previous slide. And the 13.2 actually looks like a very good number in terms of a credit on 24.8 million. And that's because we've had some tax credits in the year that relate to exceptional items from previous periods. But because they were exceptional items then, the tax credit's coming through as an exceptional as well. So we're not doing anything clever around that. So, the revenue waterfall, you can see there the impact the improved volumes within currency have had on their numbers, and also within CPS, which has had another good year, having recovered from a few years ago. Security products, another challenging year for that business, and you'll have seen their operating profit is down a little bit year on year. We do expect, though, that the improvement plan will start to turn that business around and start to make some improvements there. Within IDS, the £12 million increase in revenue there really sort of understates the underlying position there, because you'll recall, I hope, that in the £63 million for IDS last year, there was about £30 million of recoveries in respect of investment that we'd made that we were then able to recover in respect of the UK passport contract from the end customer. So it passed through our P&L account as a revenue item. We didn't actually make any margin on it. So the underlying number last year would have been 33, so that actually the increase is about 42 million for IDS in terms of the underlying operating performance of that business, which is sort of much more sort of sensible when you think about the UK passport contract in its first full year, 400 million 10-year contract. It's always going to be about 40-odd million pounds or so. So good revenue growth, as Tim said earlier, of about 14%. And there you can see the operational gearing effect. So 14% increase in revenue has driven a 56-odd percent increase in underlying operating profits. Working our way across the waterfall again, You can see the cotton price impact. We anticipated at the half year that we thought the impact of that was going to be about £10 million. Clearly, the volume of paper made has been a bit lower, so actually that overall impact has been a little bit lower. Now, before you get excited and reverse that this year and add £9 million back to your numbers, please don't do that, because as you will recall, we did say that we expected the price to come down. The downward adjustment in that price is already factored into the improvement plan. So the improvement plan itself in the year, as Tim mentioned, has contributed £8 million to operating profit. £5 million of that was in respect of the procurement exercise and program, and £3 million in respect of reducing waste or spoil within the business. Both are ongoing programs. They're not complete. There's still much work to be done on those, and they will yield further contribution over the next 2 years. We've shown the IDS movement in its operating profits separately. We could have put that into the mixed volume, because clearly it's just a volume change in terms of that contract for the UK contract. But we just thought it was such a material number, we ought to show it quite separately. So that £5 million increase is largely driven by the UK contract. And the rest of the business there is coming through into a mix and volume across the rest of the group. So operating cash flow. Now, you're familiar with the cash flow characteristics of this group and the strengths of the cash flow. And you can really see that halfway down the page there at the operating cash flow before special pension contributions and exceptional items doubled. Just working our way down the page, in a spirit of openness, working capital has been flattered a little bit. I have to say it's flattered itself, because we didn't work hard at the year end to make that any better. But it's about £6 million or so higher than it might have been, just because of the timing of receipts and payments around the year end. So it's a little bit better than we'd have been expecting. And going forwards, you know, I think if you assume it's sort of going to be neutral or a little bit positive in the year, you hopefully won't be too far adrift. Pension fund contributions there, you can see we paid £23.1 million this year, compared with £7.5 million last year. And you remember at the half year, I tried to explain, but I'll have another go in case it didn't sink in. We're able to get a little bit of a benefit over when we pay these contributions. We have to pay around £15.6 million before the 31st of March. Because we have a roving year end, last year in 2010-11, it was the 26th of March, we paid £7.5 million before the year end, and a little over £7.5 million immediately after the year end, but before the 31st of March. So you can see that that second instalment falls into this year. So actually, you've sort of got 1.5 years worth of payments in that 23.1. Because next year, the new current financial year, the year end is going to be the 30th of March, we won't be able to sort of split the two again. So we'll come back to a full year charge of about £15 million. You'll see at the bottom right-hand side there, last year, just to remind you, we did make a special additional special contribution into the scheme, £35 million out of the proceeds that year from the Camelot disposal. At the bottom of the slide there, cash costs of exceptional items. And on an earlier slide, you saw that we charged to the P&L just under £25 million. The cash out of the bank account, though, has only been 3.7. So there's about another 20 or so million to go. We expect £14 million of that to be spent in the new financial year, and the other £6 million will fall into 13-14. Net debt. I suppose I should confess early on this. The guidance I gave at the half year was that we would have net debt of around £65 million at the full year. Here we are at £25 million. So we've done a bit better than we'd expected. Now, why was that? Well, the first thing to point out, capital expenditure, we spent £32 million on CapEx in the year. There's actually commitments of another £22 million that we've got contractual commitments. So we're getting on with the investment program, but we just haven't had either the kit delivered yet or indeed paid for. So there's about £20 million that will fall into the new financial year that perhaps we were being a little pessimistic in anticipating would have been paid in the year just ended. I mentioned earlier on that we'd had some successes on tax. We received just over £10 million of tax refunds in the year. We had expected to receive that in the new financial year. That came in early. So that's another £10 million of the difference. And the remainder is just, again, being perhaps slightly too cautious or pessimistic around the timing of the improvement plan, where we had expected a greater proportion to have been paid in the year just ended. That will fall into the new financial year. So that accounts for the balance of the total movement or difference of about 40-odd million. So most of that will reverse in the new financial year. So it's not a permanent improvement. It's merely a timing thing. You can see on the right-hand side there the graph. We've been entirely consistent, again, in terms of the way in which we've calculated the cash conversion. It's down at the bottom there, micro print. But you can see pretty good conversion from our operating profits into cash. And I think that's it for me. So I'll hand back to Tim.
Thank you, Colin. So now I'm going to give you an update on our markets and our performance in those markets. Just a reminder, we now look at the business in two parts, currency and solutions, but we continue to provide some detail on the constituent parts of the solution business to aid comparison with prior periods. Nevertheless, it's an undeniable truth that currency generates more than 60% of the group's revenues and more than 70% of the group's profits. So I'm going to concentrate on that part of the business. The currency market offers robust, if modest, long-term growth. And contrary to popular reports, cash is alive and well. The graph on the top right-hand side of the slide shows the face value of currency in circulation in a number of countries. And you can see that it continues to grow strongly, particularly in those countries where population is growing and which are becoming more affluent, or indeed both. And it is that underpins our long-term forecast for global banknote issuance, the key driver in our business. And we forecast that at 4% in line with the long-term trend in the industry. Now, the reason we talk about long-term growth in this marketplace is that there are some inherent characteristics in the market that mean that there is the potential for year-on-year variation. First of all, if you look at one level, there are only 200 or so countries in the world, and they vary hugely in size. So in any given year, the mix of countries by size tendering for business can have a material effect on the size of the market available in that year. If we look a bit more closely at the cash cycle on the left-hand side of the chart, the flow of orders from a central bank to the banknote supplier shown in green on the left in any given year is not solely dependent on the issuance of cash by the central bank into circulation through cash centres, but it also depends on that central bank's policy with regard to the destruction of old notes and the stocking of new notes. So the message is that it is a market that has robust long-term growth, but there is scope for year-on-year variability. Now let's look at the market in a little more detail. Each year, something like 150 billion banknotes are produced. Of these, about 85% are produced by central banks in their own state printworks. That obviously leaves about 15% of the market available to commercial providers like De La Rue. Every year, some of those central banks that have their own state printworks have a demand that exceeds their installed capacity, and they look to the commercial market to meet that demand. We call it overspill, and it's designated by the yellow segments on the pie charts. The amount of overspill in any given year can vary year to year, another contributor to year-on-year variation, but it is always an important proportion of the market available to the commercial providers. Now, if we look at the substrate upon which the banknote is printed, the shape of the market is quite similar in principle, though the proportion produced by central banks is much lower, and that's simply because of the capital intensity of the processes involved in producing the substrate. Now, the banknote paper market accounts for about 96% of the total substrate market. In the last 12 months or so, two of our competitors have introduced new banknote paper capacity. And without doubt, as you can see from the chart on the top right-hand side, that market is now in oversupply and has certainly produced more challenging market conditions. So part of De La Rue's response to that is to enter the polymer substrate market. As you can see, polymer occupies about 4% of the total substrate market. It is the most durable substrate available in the marketplace, and it is currently, or hitherto, was supplied only by one provider. Now, bearing in mind that most central banks are very concerned about disaster recovery and business continuity, we think this represents a very good opportunity provided it's executed well for De La Rue. Our entry into that marketplace also means that De La Rue has the broadest range of durability offerings in the marketplace. Now, the second part of addressing that particularly challenging paper market is the strategy of focusing on the printed banknote and leveraging De La Rue's integrated presence in the market. It is a very good rule of thumb that if you supply the printed banknote and you have the capability, you will also supply the substrate. And De La Rue, as an integrated provider, is very well placed to do that. In addition, we have the largest commercial sales force in the industry, and the geographic distribution of our sales is disproportionately weighted to those countries and regions likely to grow most quickly in the coming years. The strategy of focusing on the printed banknote is underpinned by De La Rue's broad, internally developed and internally produced range of technologies that provide the banknote security that our customers demand. And that's combined with the capability to be able to integrate those technologies, and indeed the technologies of others, if customers specify it, into award-winning designs. So if that's a summary of the marketplace and what's been happening, now let's have a look at our performance, starting with our long-term performance. So what this chart shows you is our banknote volumes going back over 15 years or so. The average growth per annum over that period is 4%, pretty much in line with the historic growth in the marketplace. And to the extent that De La Rue is representative of the marketplace, you can see how volumes do vary over time. And you'll remember the comments I made about year-on-year variability. We have seen that in De La Rue's history. Overall, though, growth in line with the market at 4%. Looking now in a slightly more short term, the panel on the left-hand side of this chart shows you our printed banknote order intake on a six-month rolling basis, indexed back to March 2010. It's an extension of the chart that I've showed you on the last two presentations. The red line shows the revenue, shows the value of the orders we have booked, and the blue line shows the profit that attached to those orders. And I think what it shows you overall is the good progress that the business has made over the last year or so. On the right-hand side of the chart, it shows you the development of the 12-month order book in currency. Now, for the avoidance of doubt, this excludes any orders that are currently suspended, and it shows good growth in the currency order book, something like 18% over the past year at £183 million. Always just a little bit of a word of caution on order books. It's quite possible that De La Rue can book an order of sufficient size to materially alter the order book picture. Clearly that could arrive just before the year end or indeed just after the reporting point. Though I can assure you that on this occasion that wasn't the case. Turning now just to look at solutions and a reminder, the reason we bought the three constituent parts of solutions together is because we saw the same trend in their marketplaces. Our presence in each of those markets was determined by the supply of a physical product, and now we see that all those markets require more sophisticated solutions. So by way of example, in CPS, the partnership we have with Vaultex, probably the largest cash processing business in the UK, is not only for the supply of high-speed sorting machines, but also for the supply of sophisticated software solutions and service support that allows them to focus on operational efficiency and indeed to improve it, which is an important part of their business. Within security products, in the Cameroon, we are just about to launch a track and trace solution that provides greater security to the government vis-a-vis the quality of pharmaceuticals distributed in that country and greater assurance as to the receipt of the indirect tax revenues arriving on alcohol and tobacco. In the identity space, you might be interested to know that on the UK passport program, we actually employ more people looking after the software and the system and the security that supports the manufacturing operation than we do in manufacturing the actual passports themselves. So that gives you a sense of how the market has moved to a solution. What I'd like to do now is give you a progress report on the improvement plan. If I described a business to you that was a market leader and a brand leader in a marketplace that had robust growth and had very high barriers to entry, If I told you that business had long-standing relationships with its customers and a long history of technical innovation, that it was a high-margin business that generated lots of cash, I think you'd agree with me in saying that that is a high-quality business. Those are the fundamental strengths of De La Rue. And the improvement plan aims to build on those fundamental strengths, but address the significant opportunities for improvement, particularly in the supply chain. We built the plan around four sets of business priorities. We called them pillars. Two of them are aimed at generating future revenue growth, customer focus, and innovation. And two of them are aimed at improving the cost position in the company, professionalism, and operational excellence. Now, to be able to implement that plan, we made some structural changes to the organization, moving away from four strategic business units and deploying a more functional organization. And that new organization provides the organizational focus that ensures that the business's priorities are being worked on all the time. So now, having explained the high level of the plan, let me now give you an update on each of those four pillars, starting with customer focus. Here our program is to develop country plans. The idea of the country plan is to take a longer term, more strategic views of the opportunities for De La Rue on a one De La Rue basis for both solutions and currency in each of the countries in which we operate. We've made good progress with those plans. We now have something like 40 plans in place. And what we have seen is that we see greater opportunities than we have seen hitherto. And there are some examples on the chart as to the extent of it. Doesn't mean necessarily that we will achieve all of those opportunities, but most importantly, it means we are aiming higher. We have already seen benefits in our order intake from some of the earliest plans that we developed. Turning now to innovation, I think this is one area that has particularly benefited from the organizational focus that it is receiving. It's been a very important year for De La Rue. We launched our new polymer banknote and, as you know, have taken our first order. We launched our first single note inspection machine, the De La Rue 9000. We've announced the investment in an industry-leading state-of-the-art technology center, and that should be open about 12 months from now. But I think most importantly, the leading indicators in this space, particularly qualified ideas going into the development funnel, up nearly 40%, and patents filed up 20%, mean that the prospects going forward, albeit that this is quite a slow-burning fuse, are very bright. And I have high expectations of innovation going forward. Turning now to look at operational excellence, and particularly process improvement, where I think we have developed some strong momentum, and Colin outlined that the improvement plan already contributed £3 million from this part of the business. It is a never-ending journey. That's why that is the most unhelpful timeline you will have seen. By way of an example, I think a number of you have been able to visit our Gateshead facility, and it shows how we're approaching process improvement from a multidimensional point of view. So we concentrate very much on improving our workplace management, specific projects to reduce waste, targeted investment where that is necessary, specific activities to improve quality systems and processes, and most importantly, work to properly engage with the people who work on the shop floor, and in particular, a focus on frontline management. Now, I've spoken about Gateshead, but exactly similar things are happening right across De La Rue's facilities. And the nice thing is we know our customers are noticing the difference. Turning now to look at procurement. When we set the plan up, we adopted a phased approach to procurement. I'm pleased to say that we're running well ahead of that. We have now either negotiated or got very much in our crosshairs something like £12 million worth of improvement. As Colin said, we saw £5 million worth of benefit in the year that we've just reported upon, and we will see another £5 million of benefit, i.e. total 10, in the current financial year. So I think very good progress being made on the procurement side of the business. And as you can see as well on the slide, that is now moving into the proper development of our supply base, focusing on their quality, their cost, and their delivery performance into us, because that then enables our manufacturing operations to provide the same to our customers. Now, a word on cotton. The chart in the center of the slide at the bottom shows our experience on cotton coma pricing since about 2009. Now, it shows our experience because there isn't a market price for coma, and there are no numbers on the slide because, of course, those are prices that are particular to De La Rue. But it shows very clearly the size of the spike, and it does show that prices have fallen back. But if you look not too carefully, you can see that they're still not at a level that we saw prior to that spike. In fact, they're still 33% higher. So improvement in cotton prices, but still some way for them to improve. As you'll recall, we're in the process as part of our facility optimization program in closing two factories and transferring the activities of those factories to existing De La Rue facilities. That program is absolutely on track. We have now conducted the proper consultation with the people most affected. The preparations in the receiving sites are well advanced, and in fact we have started the first machine moves. So we're confident that this program will be able to deliver savings of about £6 million a year, starting at the start of next financial year, so April 2013. When we look at professionalism, this is all about, certainly for De La Rue, all about standardizing our processes. And without a doubt, we have certainly found this heavier going, certainly harder rather than easier. But I think it has the potential to be particularly fundamental to the way that De La Rue works. We're currently reshaping a number of our processes, inquiry to order and order to cash. And reshaping those processes actually allows the supply chain in the business to deliver much more effectively. Part of that involves introducing a much better sales and operational planning process. And all of that is a prelude to introducing some technology that will make the whole of that process much more efficient. So to bring the improvement plan together, I think we have very good momentum. But remember, it's a three-year plan, and we've had a very good first year, but there still remains a great deal of work for those of us in De La Rue still to do. That said, I hope you've got a good sense of the progress that we've made and the momentum we carry into the second year of the plan, and we certainly have confidence in its delivery. Yes, costs will be a little bit higher than we had originally anticipated, but that's a product of actually doing the work and, if you want, picking up some of the stones and beginning to react to what we find underneath those stones. On the capital front, we still see that as broadly in line with the numbers that that we announced when we told you first about the improvement plan. So in closing, I'd like to just make some comments about the outlook. My view is that what these results show is a high-quality business that is recovering strongly. And as we move into new financial year, we do so with a good order book. I think you've seen that. And I can tell you we have a strong pipeline of opportunities. And that underpins the board's view that our expectations for this year remain unchanged.